It is my hope this morning to explain why you shouldn't read the newspaper. Now, I know you all probably have reasons why you shouldn't read the newspaper. It's full of depressing things, or you don't agree with the political stance of this or that paper. But those aren't my reasons. I have different, and I think ultimately more compelling reasons, not to give the game away at the beginning, why you should never read the newspaper, since I get two of them delivered every morning. But why the newspaper, the internet, television are subverting something enormously important in our lives. This was sparked by the prevalence in our home these days of the Chronicles of Narnia. The Chronicles of Narnia, for those of you who don't know, are a series of books by C.S. Lewis, which, the first of which, depending on how you arrange the Chronicles, is about to be a movie called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And before the movie comes out, I thought I ought to say something about the books. And the first thing I want to say about the books is that they were published more than 50 years ago, in the late 40s and early 50s. And so I thought to ask you, when was the last time you read a book that was more than 50 years old, more than 100 years old, more than 500 years old? Because what the newspaper does is give you the illusion you're informed without any history. And what reading old books does is involve you in a conversation that preceded this morning's newspaper and, God knows, last night's Jon Stewart show, and brings you into the stream, well, let me quote C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. He said, "If you join at 11 o'clock a conversation which began at 8, you will often not see the bearing of what is said." He said that in an essay called On the Reading of Old Books. C.S. Lewis wrote books that last in part because he spent his life with old books. It's true that the Chronicles of Narnia are in part a Christian allegory, as is much of Western literature. But when you read it, you feel, even though it's for children, mostly for older children, you feel the weight of what is behind it. In the same way that you feel if you read Lord of the Rings, because you see both Tolkien, who wrote Lord of the Rings, and Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, were medievalists. In other words, they spent their lives reading books that were hundreds of years old before they produced their own. And you feel, I know that I risk offending by saying this, that as entertaining and as winning as the Harry Potter books are, they're not the Chronicles of Narnia. And part of that is because they feel up to date. They feel closer to the newspaper than to the Psalms. You don't get a sense that you are entering a conversation that has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. And as diverting and as wondrous as they are in their fantasy, I'm here this morning to try to get you to read old books. In his work on Balkan history, called Balkan Ghosts, Robert Kaplan spent some time with Miroslav Dijas, one of the leading intellectuals during the time of the Cold War and after. And Dijas had a remarkable history of predicting the future. What was going to happen over the next 10, 20 years? He said, in fact, being a communist, the hard part was predicting the past, because the communist officials were always changing what happened in the past. So he never knew what happened 100 years ago, but he could predict the future. And when Kaplan asked him why, he said, "Because I never read a newspaper." Because you see, if someone is bothering you all the time with what happened yesterday, it's very hard to figure out what will happen tomorrow. Because history moves in grand sweeps, not in daily events. And if any people in the world should know this, it's the Jews. We read this morning the second Haftarah of consolation. What are we consoling ourselves for? Something that happened 2,000 years ago. And to someone who would say, "Enough already. We're not living 2,000 years ago anymore," the Jewish response is, that is a terrible mistake. In that book, Balkan Ghosts, Kaplan points out, as does everybody who covers the Balkans, that the most important event in the Balkans happened in 1389. The divisions of the world, the patterns of history, don't emerge from a day or a week or a month or a year. In fact, it's a strange paradox. As people become more and more convinced that who they are depends upon who they were as children, that the formation of your personality is not about what happened yesterday, but about what happened 20, 30, 40, 50, 70 years ago, they become less and less interested in history. But what is true of us as individuals is even more true of us as a society. I don't want to suggest, looking for someone? Just curious. Hi. If there's a parent for this child, please come forward and claim. We like new things too. I know I'm talking about old things, but we like new things too. Here you go. I don't want to say that we don't like new things too. This year, for example, you can come and hear some of... Let's get his name. We'll sign him up. This year, you can come to the synagogue and hear some of the best writers of our time. During our centennial, you not only can hear great scholars like Reuven Kimmelman and Deborah Lipstadt, who won the libel suit against David Irving, as you may know, in England, but you can hear Michael Chabon, who a few years ago won the Pulitzer Prize with Cavalier and Clay, and his wife Ayelet Waldman, who will be with us in January, Jonathan Safran Foer and his wife Nicole Krauss, who wrote two of the hottest novels of the year and will be with us in November. There is nothing wrong with the fictional equivalent of the newspaper or the internet. But if all you do is come into the conversation at 11 o'clock, then you can't understand. Then you don't know. William Maxwell, who for years worked at the Paris Review, was in his 90s, and I read an interview with him, and someone said to him, "What are you reading?" And he said, "Well, you know, I'm quite old and my diagnosis is not very good and I don't think I'll be living much longer, so I'm reading War and Peace because I don't have time for anything else." And I thought, that's wisdom. He doesn't want to know what happened yesterday. He wants to know what always happens. Great literature is about what always happens, what happens again and again and again. As the ancient definition of myth has it, myth is something that never occurred but always happens. And you discover, the more you study ancient books, just as I was saying about the Psalms earlier, the more you realize that not only were modern ideas anticipated, but elaborated and explained and lived through. It's what Mark Twain said, the ancients stole all our ideas from us. And that's part of the Jewish approach to the world, is not that there is nothing new under the sun, as the Bible says. There are always new elaborations. But that the fundamental patterns of human life and human history recur. And you don't learn about them from the Sunday morning paper. You learn about them by studying that which is older than us. Older books, ancient books, books that endure. It is a good rule, a quotation now, after reading a new book, never to allow yourself another new one till you've read an old one in between. C.S. Lewis. Before the Chronicles of Narnia qualified as old books. At the beginning of the Tractate of Sanhedrin, where they talk about who can judge which cases, there's a little section about monetary cases, and they're arguing about whether three men off the street, basically, ordinary people, can judge these cases. And finally they decide, yes, you don't need experts, three people off the street. And one of them says, well, you know what, you don't necessarily need three people off the street, how about just one person off the street? And one of the rabbis objects and says, you can't have a case judged by one person off the street, because what if that person is not learned and doesn't know what to do? At which point another rabbi comes in and says, well, what if the three people aren't learned and don't know what to do? To which the Talmud answers, it is inconceivable that you would find three Jews together and not one of them is learned. Let me translate that into a modern idiom. It is inconceivable that you would find three passionate, concerned people in one place and all they read is the newspaper. All they do is get their news from the internet or the television. Who never seek to find what the world was before they were born. All of us who train children try to make them non-parochial and non-provincial. We all imagine the time when our children are going to travel so they will know the entire world is not Los Angeles. But you can be parochial in time just as you are parochial in area. And if you never take your children out of the 21st century, you're raising parochial children. Take them to the 15th century, the 13th century. And for that matter, if you bring them to synagogue, to the 13th century before the Common Era. So they know something deep about human nature. When I was in Israel early in the summer, the guide and I were talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls. And he said that he was old enough to remember the debate that occurred when Israel first was offered the Dead Sea Scrolls. They came to Ben-Gurion and they said, look, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls. We can purchase them secretly. But it will cost us $250,000. Now, $250,000 at the founding of the State of Israel was a phenomenal, an astronomical sum. And when Ben-Gurion took the privilege of being the first prime minister to say, we are going to buy them, there was a huge public outcry. We're going to be fighting wars. This was in 1950 or 51. We have enemies all around us. We have hunger. We need social services. How can you spend all this money on old scrolls? To which Ben-Gurion said, any people that does not preserve its past has forfeited its future. We are a people that has always believed in the depth, importance, and the wisdom of the past. Today, more than ever in human history, we are flooded with the information of today that will be forgotten tomorrow. How many of you would read a newspaper from 3 weeks ago? But the classics of our tradition endure. So I hope this year you will seek out some old Jewish books, some ancient works, something you can study and live with that in fact, paradoxically, will never grow old, because it tells truths about human beings, about society, and about God that will remain true forever. Shabbat Shalom.